Well, here we are at our last service. And for this evening, Brother Sid has chosen to discuss with us, "Finally, brethren, farewell." Finally, brethren, farewell. Brother Sid.
Sister Joan and I are very happy to have spent these past 6 days in fellowship and meditation with all you dear brethren. And we consider it a special privilege to be associated with this group of the Lord's people here at the end of the age. It's been a very special blessing. And I'm sure that as we have come to the final service of this lovely convention, that we are reflecting back on these beautiful 6 days. I know I am. I'm thinking back when we arrived from the dawn last Friday afternoon in three vans. And Hatchaway arrived by first one car and then another would pull up, and how nice it was, how very nice it was to go and to greet these dear brethren, some we hadn't seen in a long time, some we'd seen more recently, but really it was a very rich blessing. And that's what this last service is all about, is to reflect on the goodness of our great God who has called us out of darkness and given us this marvelous hope, this wonderful calling. You know, I sometimes think how blessed we are here, sitting in here, and then thinking how it would be if we were on the outside and not knowing anything that was going on in here. What an awful feeling that would be. Have you ever really considered that? How very blessed these walls are. And how blessed it is to see each other and to greet each other. You know, I think that worldly people would think that we are the most handshaking and huggingest people they ever saw. Because we see a person, a brother or a sister, and then an hour later we see them again and we give them another handshake or another hug. And how lovely. And I've been reflecting on these things in the closing thoughts of this convention. And I selected a scripture from the great Apostle Paul, his final words to the brethren at Corinth. It's in 2 Corinthians 13, and it's verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." These are beautiful words that he wrote to these brethren at Corinth. He had written these two letters to these brethren, his final message. And Corinth was a very special place. Corinth, back in the days of the apostle, was a very important place, a large city of commerce, a wealthy place, a commercial center. And there were brethren there. But it was also a center of temple worship and images of false gods and goddesses. And Paul had to deal with this environment when he went to serve these brethren. And the great apostle, as he spent his life in serving these dear brethren and many others, it cost him something. And as he bids them farewell, we can reflect back on what it cost him. If we go back to the 11th chapter and begin with verse 23, we see where he wrote to these Corinthian brethren what it had cost him in the narrow way of sacrifice for the Lord's people. Beginning with verse 23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In death often. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings, and often cold and naked. And besides all those things, he told them, that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The apostle gives us a good indication of what he did in spending his life for the Lord's people. And as he bids them farewell, we find this passage here in the 13th chapter. Fare thee well is the old English expression for farewell. It means to be God to be with you, or to go with you as we part. And Paul's experiences are clearly manifest by God's marvelous provision for him, and calling him and directing him in his course. Consider the great conversion of the apostle in the 9th chapter of Acts. Consider the vision that he had when he went to Macedonia, the first ecclesia in Europe. The great apostle received a vision from God that directed him to go there. And even with these brethren here at Corinth, if we turn to the 18th chapter of Acts, we find an account of this vision that he had received to go to serve these brethren at Corinth. These brethren that he is bidding farewell because he knows he will not see them again. Beginning with the first verse of chapter 18, we read, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, and he went from there to Corinth. And from there we learn, as we proceed, that he came to live with Aquila and Priscilla, who were also tent makers, and together they abode in this place. And then it continues to tell us that he served the brethren from the synagogue every Sabbath day. And he attempted to teach or to persuade those who were in attendance, both Jews and Greeks. And in verse 5, we read this, when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, that's the place where he also received a vision in chapter 16 of Acts, to go there. Paul was pressed in the Spirit, or he was earnestly occupied with the Word of God and teaching and preaching the message of truth. And he testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But then they opposed him, and they blasphemed. And then he shook his raiment, and he said to them, your blood be upon your heads. And from henceforth, I will go to the Gentiles. And then we read the context leading up to this marvelous vision that he received in connection with the brethren at Corinth. Now we have to remember, when we're thinking about Corinth, the nature of the city, and not only being a place of temple worship of false gods and goddesses, but it was a seaport. A seaport where men would come from all over the world and pass through there. It was a rough, tough place as well as a commercial center. And even amongst the Lord's people, he had many opportunities to preach and to teach them and to assist them away from their teachings of idolatry and of disobedience and misconduct. And he came upon all these things, spiritual and moral uncleanness and corruption, even gross immorality, even among the brethren. Now here in verse 7, with this context in mind, we read, as he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, and whose house joined hard to the synagogue, and to Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, who believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, having believed, were baptized. So even in this environment of the city so long ago, Paul was able to teach and to preach the wonderful message of truth. And then we proceed in verse 9. Then the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. And this is what the Lord told Paul. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. That's the key to the whole passage. The fact that Paul left Athens to come to Corinth and to abide with these brethren and to teach and to preach, because he had received this vision to go there, or a message from God that he had many people to serve in that place. So when he bid them farewell, it was with this experience that he had had in preaching to them and dealing with them in these two epistles to the Corinthians. Verse 11 and continuing, he says he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. How beautiful that we see this great apostle conducting himself in this manner. In 1 Corinthians, and one of the reasons we turn this up is because of the opposition that he had received while being there, the great apostle had to tell them that he was sent to them by God himself. And he had to develop this credibility among these brethren. And if we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and beginning with verse 14, we read this. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. And as we read Corinthians, we find many admonitions in connection with the immorality and disobedience and corruption that had finally come into their ecclesia. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. He's telling them of the authority that he had to preach to them. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, and who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So these words that we read in our opening text, finally, brethren, farewell, and then these beautiful admonitions that follow, are worthy to consider. He told them in these final words to be perfect. And this reminds us of his message to the Hebrew brethren, chapter 6 and verse 1, where he says, leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and let us go on unto perfection. And in his final words to these Corinthian brethren, he also said to be of good comfort. And in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 1, and verse 3, we read, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. And he also told them to be of one mind. And he wrote to the Philippian brethren in chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he admonished these brethren at Corinth in this farewell passage to live in peace. And he wrote in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2, may we lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. What a beautiful counsel from the great Apostle Paul in these final words to these brethren at Corinth. And yet written so long ago, and yet we can receive a blessing from considering them even now as we depart this convention. And as we consider the Apostle's ministry and costing him so much, and as we look around to each other here and to view the many brethren that we have known for so long in many cases, and to appreciate the life of sacrifice that each one of us is striving to do. Yes, this is the concluding session of the 2002 General Convention here at Pitt Johnstown. This is the fifth year that we've been here, and we expect to be here again next year. And we bid fairly well to another convention. For 6 days, as we reflect back, we've had this lovely fellowship together. How precious is that fellowship? With brethren from many places, even different countries, have been represented here at this convention. And we love to see them. And we're very happy for them as they return to their own homes. Some brethren we have known for many years. As I look out on this collection of brethren here, I see brethren I have known personally for 50 years. And yet, at the same time, I met a brand new brother at this convention that I'd never seen before. That was a great blessing. And I'm sure that all of you, as you reflect on the love of those you've known so long, and to welcome others for the first time, has been a wonderful blessing. And as we leave this place, let us keep those precious memories. Together, we have been spiritually refreshed for 6 days. We've had the opportunity to discuss the truth together around the table at mealtime and other places. We have sung melodies of praise together these 6 days. We have broken bread together. And we have rejoiced together in the one hope of our high calling in Christ Jesus. What a blessed time it has been. And now that it is time to depart, let us take these memories home with us and our lives at home. And thank God for all these blessings that we have received. And as we bid farewell to one another with a handshake and a hug, we cherish each other, and as we bid farewell, we do so with God be with you till we meet again. During this 6 days, we've had discourses and panel discussions and symposiums and question meetings. We've had several assigned topics and lessons from this platform. And judging from the conversation around the table at mealtime, these discussions and lessons have generated interest and the opportunity to look into some of these things that have been said. We had a welcome address Saturday morning, not only from one of the representatives from this university, but also one of our own. And this brother welcomed us to this place and set the tone for the blessings to follow. And we thank our dear brother Bob for those wonderful words that he said to us last Saturday morning. Here it is Thursday night, and we can recall those beautiful things that he said to us. We had a theme discourse from 2 Peter 3:11, and what a timely theme that is. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? As we see the events rapidly taking place around us, and knowing only too well that our calling election must be made sure that we could be a part of the wonderful kingdom to come. We had a lesson on the church's share in the sin offering. Lovely discourse. One of the basic doctrines of our belief, our share in the sin offering. And why it is that although our Lord paid the ransom price 2,000 years ago, that benefit of that ransom has not been applied on behalf of the world of mankind because of the church and our privilege to share with the Lord in this time. And then the subject that generated a great deal of discussion was the one on the offering of the incense. Was it in the holy or was it in the most holy? Now, we've been discussing this around the table ever since. But it's been interesting, and it's been good. It's good that we look into the Scriptures. It's good that we can do so in the spirit of love and tolerance. See, there was no conclusion to that lesson. It's left up to us to do a little studying at home. And really, I can't wait till I can get home to have a better look at that subject myself. And I'm sure many of you feel the same. We had a lovely discourse on another assigned topic, I and my Father are one, in consideration of the sons of Jacob and the sons of Ishmael. Lovely discourse, lovely message, and we appreciate very much the dear brother who brought it to us. And during these 6 days of convention, we had a baptismal service, and we welcomed two new sisters into our fellowship. And how grand that was. And it tells us that the door is not yet closed, that we're still in the gospel age, that we're still in the harvest of the gospel age, and that the way to the high calling is still available for those who so seek it. And how blessed it was to see those two dear sisters being immersed into the water that day. We've had testimony and praise services. We've had vesper and song services. And wasn't it delightful last evening to see the young people? Especially those little children. They were just delightful. And I'm sure that I speak for all of us when I say how much we appreciate the dear brother and sister who have been teaching these children this week, while we have been sitting in here. Others have been out working with these children, the younger group and the intermediate group, and then, of course, the older children. It was a blessing. And as we leave and say farewell, let us take some of these memories home with us and to reflect on these beautiful blessings that we shared here together. We had a theme hymn that we've sung, I think, every day since we've been here. To God be the glory. And what a beautiful hymn it was. To God be the glory for all of His goodness and mercy to us. There have been meetings for young people all week for these different age groups. And we appreciate the time and attention given to these young people. We had a convention business meeting where the convention body selected the committee for the following year and other business matters. And we also had other meetings, elders meeting, membership meeting, and so on. And now we have the closing and parting, the farewell message of the convention. And it's sad to bid farewell. The brother this morning said that there are two sides to the coin, one joyful and one sad. And we can't help but be sad as we say farewell to one another. But yet there is more to follow. Because after this service, in a few moments, we're going to have a lovely final vesper service. And still that's not all, because we'll have the love feast down below here. And how nice, what a wonderful blessing it is to say goodbye to our dear brethren and to thank them for their services to us. Multitudinous service. You know, when we said farewell a year ago, it was a different world than it is tonight. It's a dramatically changed world this evening to what it was a year ago. I believe that we have entered a whole new final chapter in this gospel age harvest. And I believe that the events clearly indicate the the accelerating violence that will take this social order away. Sometimes the question is asked, when will life return to normal? You've heard your neighbors and friends say that. Well, when is life going to get back to normal again? Brethren, I believe this is the new norm. I don't think it's ever going to go back. I believe that this is the new norm, and I believe that the rapid and accelerating events will carry us right into the kingdom with the passing away of this old social order. Actually, we rejoice that as we see the order passing away. We don't rejoice in the suffering, but we do rejoice in the nearness of that wonderful time. We are having to learn to cope with the new norm. We have entered a new era of violence that was unthinkable even a year ago. And the great leaders of this nation all agree to the seriousness of these events. And there is accelerating violence everywhere, not just in the United States or in Israel, but in Europe and Africa and Asia and everywhere. These are the signs of the times. And as we bid farewell, we have no idea what another year will bring. We expect to be back here in convention. But we need to stay close to the Lord, the truth, and each other as we walk this narrow way. We are truly living in violent and dangerous times, and we need to stay close to the Lord. 9/11. Ground zero. Dirty bombs. Had you ever heard of dirty bombs even a year ago? But as we leave and say farewell, we hope that the kingdom may be very near. How about shoe bombers? Did anyone ever hear of a shoe bomber when we left here a year ago? To say nothing of the great events that have filled our minds as we realize the seriousness of the fast-moving events of our time. These are things that tell us where we are and how near we are to the fruition of all our hopes. Surely, a year ago, the world changed abruptly. We reflect back to 1914 and we say a world ended then, and it did. And we also reflect back to December 7th, 1941, and we say a world ended then, and it did. But now I believe that we are in the truly end times of the gospel age harvest. I jotted down a half a dozen scriptures here to indicate where we are as we part and say farewell from this convention. Where we are in the stream of time, and where we are in connection with the times in which we are living. 2 Timothy 3:1, we are living in the last days, and they are referred to as perilous times. Mark 13:19, a time of trouble such as never was from the beginning of creation. Mark 13:20, and except these days be shortened, no flesh should be saved. Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear. Luke 21:28, and this is one that I have given some attention to, and it was mentioned from this platform during the week. When these things begin to come to pass, look up, because your redemption or deliverance draweth near. There is an air of urgency in connection with our making our calling and election sure. And we know that Paul's message to the brethren at Rome, that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Brethren, that's you. The Lord has put this scripture in the Bible to indicate that the whole world is waiting for you to make your calling and election sure, that the world may receive the great blessings of the kingdom. And as we bid farewell, I'd like to read a little something from Songs of the Night from February 17. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. What are our joys which no man taketh from us, and which persecution and affliction and trouble can only deepen and widen and make more sweet? What joy is this? This joy is a foretaste of the blessings to come, an earnest of our inheritance. It is inspired by confidence that he which is both able and willing to perfect the work which he has begun, and which he desires shall be perfected in his own way. Confident that so long as we are firmly holding to his gracious promise with the arms of our faith, he will not permit us to be separated from him. Who shall separate us from the joy of God and Christ? Shall tribulation and persecution? Our confidence is that no one is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand, and that the Father himself loveth us, and he will not turn us away so long as we desire to abide obediently in his love. We are confident that all things are working together for good for those who love God. Confident that he who is for us is more powerful than all who can be against us. Such confidence is sure to bring joy beyond the world's comprehension, and a peace of God that passeth all understanding and which keeps the heart. Songs of the Night, February 17. So in closing then, we reflect on that scripture in John 14:27. My peace I leave unto you. And also from the great Apostle Paul, finally, brethren, farewell. And may God be with you all until we meet again. 9/11. Ground Zero. Dirty bombs. Had you ever heard of dirty bombs even a year ago? But as we leave and say farewell, we hope that the kingdom may be very near. How about shoe bombers? Did anyone ever hear of a shoe bomber when we left here a year ago? To say nothing of the great events that have filled our minds as we realize the seriousness of the fast-moving events of our time. These are things that tell us where we are and how near we are to the fruition of all our hopes. Surely, a year ago, the world changed abruptly. We reflect back to 1914 and we say a world ended then, and it did. And we also reflect back to December 7th, 1941, and we say a world ended then, and it did. But now I believe that we are in the truly end times of the gospel age harvest. I jotted down a half a dozen scriptures here to indicate where we are as we part and say farewell from this convention. Where we are in the stream of time, and where we are in connection with the times in which we are living. 2 Timothy 3:1, we are living in the last days, and they are referred to as perilous times. Mark 13:19, a time of trouble such as never was from the beginning of creation. Mark 13:20, and except these days be shortened, no flesh should be saved. Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear. Luke 21:28, and this is one that I have given some attention to, and it was mentioned from this platform during the week. When these things begin to come to pass, look up, because your redemption or deliverance draweth near. There is an air of urgency in connection with our making our calling and election sure. And we know that Paul's message to the brethren at Rome, that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Brethren, that's you. The Lord has put this scripture in the Bible to indicate that the whole world is waiting for you to make your calling and election sure, that the world may receive the great blessings of the kingdom. And as we bid farewell, I'd like to read a little something from Songs of the Night from February 17. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. What are our joys which no man taketh from us, and which persecution and affliction and trouble can only deepen and widen and make more sweet? What joy is this? This joy is a taste of the blessings to come, an earnest of our inheritance. It is inspired by confidence that he which is both able and willing to perfect the work which he has begun, and which he desires shall be perfected in his own way. Confident that so long as we are firmly holding to his gracious promise with the arms of our faith, he will not permit us to be separated from him. Who shall separate us from the joy of God and Christ? Tribulation and persecution? Our confidence is that no one is able to pluck up out of the Father's hand. Another himself loves, and he will not turn us away as we desire, in his love. You're confident all things are working together for those who love God. Confident that he who for us powerful than all be against. Such confidence.